This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to continue this morning in the series that Pastor James has been in, entitled Important Lessons That Changed My Life. Important Lessons That Changed My Life. And I'm excited to share with you three specific things that has changed my life this morning. But we're going to begin with the verses that have been the launching pad of this series, as well as a definition. So we're going to start out in Proverbs 13 and 20 in the Message. It says, "Become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces." The definition of wisdom that Pastor James has been using this series is a disciplined approach to living whereby I operate by spiritual principles and thus discernment, and through discernment rather, I accurately apply both natural knowledge and spiritual knowledge into my situation, bringing forth the perfect will of God for my life. Amen. And you can tell that's a Pastor James definition of wisdom with some of the words that are chosen. Amen. In Proverbs 4, 7, and 8 in the King James, it says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding." Amen. "Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her." Amen. A story is told of a man who falls into a ditch. And after he fell into the ditch, he's hoping that people passing by will help him because he's in need. One person passes by, doesn't even notice him. A second person passes by, rolls their eyes, and keeps going. A third person walks by, sees the man in the ditch, and without hesitation, jumps in the ditch with him, to the amazement of the first man. And the first man exclaims, I don't know how we're going to get out of this ditch now that you're in here with me. But the man who jumped in said, "What you didn't know is that I've been in this ditch before and I know the way out. We are both coming out of this ditch." Amen. Whatever you're facing this morning, whatever challenge you're going through, there is a way out for you. Amen. And one of the many reasons why I love my church is that it's a place of hope. That we can all come in from so many different backgrounds and learn that we have value, that God has plans for our lives, amen. And then we are given practical instruction on how to walk out the faith walk, amen, and see results in our lives. So the first lesson I want to share, number one, is that faithfulness is the key to promotion. Faithfulness is the key to promotion, praise God. 1 Corinthians 4 and 2 in the Amplified, it says, "Moreover, it is essentially required of stewards that a man be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust." The definition of a steward is someone who watches over something for somebody else. Our God-given assignments, they're all different, but we are all stewards. We are all stewards of what God has given us to do in this life, and we are to watch over what he has given us in a manner that glorifies him. Amen. And in Proverbs 28 and 20 in the King James, it says, "A faithful man, faithful person shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." And we see in those two verses that we just read the word faithful. And if you really combine those two verses and rightly divide them, it's amazing because God blesses what he requires. That's the nature of God. He requires faithfulness. And then he, in turn, blesses faithfulness as we obey. Amen? So if you are a good steward and are faithful with what you have been given, you will be blessed with more. Why? Because faithfulness is the key to promotion. Praise God. The key to making progress is the consistent application of biblical principles. Let's go to Matthew 25. We're going to read a familiar passage. We're going to read it in the NLT. King James was a little bit too wordy, but we will refer to it. All right. But Matthew 25, 14 to 225 in the NLT is what we refer to as the parable of the talents. Jesus is talking here and he says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave them 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last. dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid you would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." We're going to stop there. All right. But it doesn't really end too well for that servant, that last servant. All right. But I want to share with you 5 things that the Lord showed me, lessons on faithfulness from the parable of the talents. Number 1, you can win with the hand you've been dealt. Amen. Think about this. The servants in the passage we just read, they had no control over their starting point. The starting point was not up to them, right? The starting point, that was the decision of the master. Number 2, you have been given enough to demonstrate that you can be trusted with more. So all of the servants, they had control over what they did with what they were given. The servant who did nothing with what he was given, really he disrespected the master by failing to go to work with what he had been given. Number 3, don't let fear stop you from using what God has given you. The servant with 1 bag of silver, 1 talent, he was fearful. Because he was fearful, he did nothing. Because he did nothing, he received no reward. Amen? Number 4, joy comes from putting to use what God gave you. Although their starting points were different, the servants who doubled what they had received, the same word from the master in Matthew 25, verses 21 to 23. 21 and 23. So they both got the same verbiage from the master. Remember, they started with different amounts, but they both got the same response from the master. The King James reads like this: "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." So joy, number 4, joy comes from putting to use what God gave you. Amen? This passage, of course, can be in reference to the end times, but there are so many tools that we see in here that we can put into practice in our life. And point number 5, the only question the master once answered is this: what did you do with what I gave you? Amen. And that's the same question that we're all going to be asked. What did we do with what we were given to do? Amen. Interesting, the master, he gave each of the servants something to work with. He never compared the servants among themselves. It was never about the amount, but rather going to work with what you have been given. And no matter where you are in life right now, you may be happy with where you are, you may be going through various challenges, you may be in a season of difficulty, understand that you can go to work with what you have, follow the instruction in the word, and see results. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise, would you? Praise God. So in my own life, in your own life, you're not responsible for what someone else gave you to do. You're responsible for what God has given you to do. Each person takes responsibility for what God has given them to do. And that's the first point. Faithfulness is the key to promotion. Lesson number 2, if there's a shortcut to success, it would be mentorship. If there's a shortcut to success, it would be mentorship. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17 in the New King James, Paul's talking here. He says, "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Paul is telling the church, follow my example and follow others who are doing the same thing. Why did Paul say that? Because there's a proven pattern of success. Amen. The principles that we see in the word, they are neutral and they will work for anybody who works it. Amen. So it's important that I follow a proven pattern of success. And with that being said, I've got to be selective in who I choose to follow. Here's the thing. Everybody gets grace, right? We shouldn't have to earn it. All right. God didn't make us earn it. So we're going to give everybody grace. All right. God gives us grace to in turn distribute that same grace to others. I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to pray for you. But somebody say, but. All right. When I give grace, while I give grace to everybody, I must be selective in who I follow. Amen. Amen? If I'm going to do things God's way, I do not select who I give grace to. No, I give it to everybody. But I need to be selective in who I follow, and Scripture gives us certain criteria of who we should be following. Amen? Hebrews 6, 11 and 12 in the Passion Translation. But we long to see you passionately advance until the end, and you will find your hope fulfilled. So don't allow your hearts to grow dull or lose enthusiasm, but follow the example of those who fully received what God has promised because of their strong faith and patient endurance. Powerful passage. Great passage about mentoring. So let me tell you, this is the Pat Beck translation. All right. Before you follow, check the resume. All right. That's what that's saying. Before you follow, check the resume. You want to be sure that you're following somebody that has shown that, listen, they've worked the faith process. They've combined patience with their faith. They've received manifestation. Because we are really the living epistles. So someone's interested in Christ because of you, because of me. Amen? So we've got to be sure we're following the right people. If I follow the wrong example, my heart will grow dull and I will lose my enthusiasm. All right, but if I follow somebody, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, right? I'm following a proven pattern of success. Amen. And we need to see that. Listen, this is a spiritual walk, but you need to see somebody in front of you that you can lay your eyes on and understand, okay, they're human too. They have challenges too, but they work the word and they got results. And God's no respecter of persons. So if I work the word, I'm going to get results as well. Praise God. Praise God. It is hard to improve when you have no one but yourself to follow. It's hard to improve. You need to be able to, iron sharpens iron, right? You really don't know where you are, right? If you got no one to follow, just out here kind of in the sea, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. No. That's the whole point of us coming together and not forsaking of the assembling of ourselves together, is that we are making each other better. Amen. We follow the biblical example that we see set before us, and then we get locked in by other faith-filled people. Amen. So if I'm being challenged, well, it may be my brother next to me, his worship is helping me. Maybe I'm having a hard time lifting my hands, but he's worshiping, and before I realize it, you know, I'm worshiping too. Amen. That's positive peer pressure. Amen. So it's hard to improve if you have no one but yourself to follow. John Maxwell, very famous motivational speaker and pastor, he would call this the law of the lid. The law of the lid. You can go no further than the leadership you are connected to. Psalm 66 and 12 in the NLT, it says, then you put a leader over us. We went through fire and flood, but you brought us to a place of great abundance. Amen. And I was thinking about Without Limits, the ministry being started in 2007 with just four adults, right? I've heard Pastor James testify that all the time. Pastor James, Lady, Minister Joe, and Janie, four adults. That's it, right? 16 years, look at where we are. Praise God. Amen. That's an example that I can follow as I've watched them grow. Amen. You know, and of course, there's always folks who are going to criticize, you know, stop by when the building wasn't built yet and, you know, kind of say, Rev, when you're building the building, well, you don't see nothing either. You know, you don't need your eyes checked. You saw it's still dirt. All right. Because people are going to criticize when you reach out in faith. People are going to criticize. But you can't let the criticism get to you because you're on your way and you're on your journey. it's not always going to look like what it looks like now, so you better be nice to me now because you don't know what God's about to do. And when God does what he said in his word he will do, then we've got manifestation. Now we've got people coming to us. Where were you when I needed prayer? Where were you when I was battling a sickness and doctors said you weren't going to recover? No, no, no. You can't just be with somebody when it looks good. What about the hard times? What about the difficult moments? What about when the doctor said there's no cure? Amen? We can follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I'm going to give you guys a brief testimony. For about 5 years, I dealt with excruciating pain in my back. In my neck, kind of traveling all up and down my spine. Went to family doctor. He didn't know what he was doing, so he referred me to a specialist. The specialist didn't know what he was doing, so they referred me to pain management. Pain management didn't know what they were doing. I got this list of all these different diagnoses. Well, it could be this, it could be this. I can't pronounce hardly any of them. They all end in like itis or, you know, something like that, right? We need to simplify this system, you know, like bingo, A5, what you got? I got A5, okay, good. So like, we can be on the same page, we know what we're talking about. And then you go to medicine, it gets even worse. It's like, right? All right, so I'm dealing with all this pain, right? And, you know, Deb's praying for me and, you know, I'm just really just trying to get through the day. Many days. I'm coming to church, I got 3 pain patches on my back. Little cane patches, I'm just like, okay, you know, having a hard time lifting my hands, having a hard time doing all kinds of things. And I went to physical therapy, and I didn't like that guy because he was hurting me, so I stopped going there. I'm telling you, he was some young guy. I'm like, yo, it's like, well, no, my neck never did that. It's like, you know, I'm 47, my neck has never done that, so I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to walk around without pain. Faith and patience. You can't give up. Beginning of this year, 2023, Deb's praying, right? She's praying, and I thank God for my wife. I would not be anywhere without her. Amen. You know, when I really was first younger in God, Debbie and Holy Spirit were pretty much one and the same. So I'm like, okay, what do we do here? So she was praying, and she kept hearing mayo, mayo, mayo. You know, she tell me, I'm kind of picking at her, no, I want ketchup, you know, type of thing. But Mayo is a medical clinic, right? So, long story short, we go to Mayo, and they do all kinds of tests. Man, every kind of nerve test you could basically imagine, right? My arm's moving like it could break dance. I'm like, okay, when they zap you. If you ever had nerve tests, it's like, okay, feels a little odd. But anyway, through those few days, I finally, after all these years, get the right diagnosis. All right? I meet with a specialist at the end, and he says, okay, the reason why the last PT didn't work was because of X, Y, and Z. All right? You need a specific kind of physical therapy. I'm like, okay. Well, he wrote out a prescription. Some of y'all may have had one, but I'm like, again, I don't know what you're talking about. Lumbar, you know, I have no idea. So it's long. So we come back to New Bern, all right, and I end up meeting with a physical therapist, all right, and he gives an example of Nolan Ryan. Anybody a baseball fan, you know who Nolan Ryan is, one of the greatest pitchers of all time. This guy was my age and still pitching, 47, still throwing 100 miles an hour. All right, and something he used to do, pitching well into his 40s, major fastball. I mean, he just threw out the first ball at a game recently, like 63 years old, still throwing like 85 miles an hour, you know. And what he did, what this therapist told me was, you know, when he was in his 40s, after he was done pitching, of course, his arm was sore, it hurt. After every game he pitched, he would ride an exercise bike for an hour. After every game, he just pitched a 3-hour game. You know, and it was a complete game. None of this load management nonsense that they got today, right? Everybody's, right? So, you know, he would ride this exercise bike. And what this physical therapist told me, he said, you realize by the circulation that's going on in your body, even though he wasn't using that part of his body right then, what he was doing with the other parts of his body, moving and moving, you know, and extending himself, that circulation helped the part of the body that wasn't working. And you need to understand, you need to get the word circulating in your situation. Because what the word is capable of doing is to pinpoint exactly what areas need to be targeted. Amen? So I go to physical therapy. Things start to improve. And I end up, Deb ends up meeting another lady who's another physical therapist. We take a trip to Roanoke, Virginia. She meets with me for like 3-4 hours, absolutely free. This would have cost $500, $600 easily, amen? And so I've been doing this physical therapy. You know, I am dealing with hardly any pain. I mean, I'm telling you, like 99% of the pain is gone. But I had to renew my mind and change my way of thinking. So after, you know, I'm like, okay, my name is Pat Beck and I like to exercise. I'm going around the house saying that. My name is Pat Beck. I'm like, I can't believe I'm saying this. So I'm like, okay, so, but you can't get mad at the way your answer is packaged. All right? It came packaged for me with work. All right? I don't know how it's going to come packaged for you, but you can't get mad on how it's packaged. I thank God for my answer. Amen. I do these exercises every day. It takes about 30 to 45 minutes. And I'm telling you, no more pain medicine, no more patches. Listen, they ain't making money off me that they used to in medicine. No, nothing. No more prescription pain medicine, nothing. Amen. Faith and patience. I just wanted to share that with you. That wasn't in my notes anywhere, but I wanted to share that with you because some of you are going through challenging times just like that. You know, and the longer you go through something, the more the challenge becomes not just physical, it also becomes mental. You got to deal with your mind. You got to deal with your emotions. All right. And I went through a period of time, and I don't mind being honest about it. I was really dealing with anxiety very strong because I would get up in the morning or before I go to bed at night, I'd be like, okay, what's going to happen in the morning? Am I going to be in pain or am I not going to be in pain? All right. So I had to deal with my mind. I don't know who that's for. But anxiety is not the answer for you. God has a plan for you. He's got a purpose. He's got it all laid out. You just got to hang in there. Amen? So what I started doing, all right, I started praying against anxiety. Amen? I started meditating on the scriptures. So just because you deal with something, it don't make you a bad person. Amen? I'm still Christian. I still associate pastor. I still love Jesus. But how many know we can go through things and things can happen? Amen? So I just want to encourage you with that. Amen. Hallelujah. Where was I in my notes? There we go. Out of my system. Help me, Lord. All right. So here's the deal. The shepherd-sheep relationship is established by God so that we can grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what the devil attacks is that relationship. You got to understand that. Because here's the thing. The enemy wants to make us jealous of the very people that God wants us to be learning from. This is a tactic of the enemy. I'm telling you, this is what he does. So you can't receive from the person because you're tripping over what's in front. Well, hi, he got all that. Okay, you're not thinking about the word, right? Here's the thing. Jealousy hinders progress, and jealousy clouds your vision and your understanding. You can't receive someone from someone unless your heart is pure. Amen. And the devil loves to do that, but we see in the scripture, you know, Psalm 60, it said, God put a leader over us. God did that. So I got to be looking for the assignment in the person. It's really not even about the person, but I've got to hold that assignment in high esteem. Amen? Praise God. Are you with me? Amen. So that was number two. All right. There's a shortcut to success. It would be membership. Mentorship. Membership too. We'll get to that. All right. Point number three. All right. Giving is the answer to the next level. Giving is the answer to the next level. And I've seen this. We don't have time to go into all this, all right? But I'm telling you, it is. Giving does three main things. Number one, giving reveals your heart. Number two, giving advances the kingdom. And number three, giving blesses you in return. That's what giving does. It's like God knows what he's doing when he's asking us to give, amen? Where do we want to go? All right. Giving propels you toward your destiny. Let's start to wrap up here. Luke 6 and 38 in the King James. We're going to read that. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I don't know about you. I've read this verse so many times. I mean, I've read it. But the thing about the word, it's not just a paper. It's alive. It's active. So you can read something 100 times, 101st time, you start to get revelation, right? The three words that really stuck out to me in this, when I read this, was, it shall be. So let's stop there. Give and it shall be. Give and it shall be. All right? Not give and it might be. No. Give and it shall be. All right? Not give and roll the dice and see what happens. No. We're not gambling. All right? Give and it shall be. It's settled. It's a done deal. So when you give, you trigger the it shall be. All right, that word give, that's us. All right. If you remember in English class, I don't remember much, but the U is understood. All right. Papers, I was not good at that. I was the math. You know, the girls went to Deb to grade papers because if I looked at them, they were upset with their grade. So I did math. All right. So when you give, you trigger the it shall be. It shall be. It is a state of being. It is a state of perpetual and unending favor. I want to read that in the Passion Translation. Luke 6:38. Give generously, and generous gifts will be given back to you, shaken down to make room for more. Abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. The measurement of your generosity becomes the measurement of your return. I love that. I love where it says, shaken down to make room for more. I'm like, man, somebody needs to tell that to the potato chip industry. You ever buy a bag of potato chips, you know, it's all puffy. It got six chips in there. No, they didn't do that. They did not. No. They did not shake it down to make room for more. I'm like, somebody, you open that bag of chips, you mad. It's like, it lied. It was all puffy. That was air. God don't do that. He shakes it down to make room for more. I want more than six chips in my bag. Amen. I want it how it looks. I want it full, in abundance, to the full, till it overflows. Amen. That's the God that we serve, the God of exceeding abundantly, above all we could ask or think. Amen. Hallelujah. Give. When God asks you for a seed, he has a harvest in mind. Giving is not losing. Giving is gaining. One more verse for you, Psalm 126, 4-6 in the Message. And now, God, do it again. Do it again. Bring rains to our drought-stricken lives so those who planted their crops in despair will shout yes at the harvest. So those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing with armloads of blessing. This is the giver's harvest. Armloads. You see that imagery? Armloads of blessing. Amen. I trust you were blessed today with those 3 points. Amen. Could you give God a hand of praise? Amen. Faithfulness is the key to promotion. If there's a shortcut to success, it will be mentorship. And number 3, giving is the answer to the next level. Amen. I trust it blessed you. I trust it encouraged you. Amen. God's plans for your life will come to pass. You just got to hang in there and keep working the word, and you'll see the word work for you. Amen. At this time, I'm going to move forward with our appeals. Amen. Certainly, if you need to get in your positions of service, feel free to do that. But we want to certainly give opportunity today for some harvest. Amen. We believe today that none of the harvest is lost. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the building, maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you that opportunity. Because for me, Jesus was the absolute best thing that ever happened to me. Romans 10:9 teaches us that if we will confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. If you can hear my voice, if you're watching online, you're in the room, I believe God is speaking to some of you. Maybe you need to give your life to Jesus, number one. Or maybe you need to rededicate your life to him. You need to understand this morning that God is not mad at you. He hasn't walked away from you. He loves you very much. Or maybe you're a Christian, and you're like, you know what? There's some things I need to repent about. As Christians, we do make mistakes sometimes, mess up and sin. But when we do that, if we will repent, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And here's the amazing thing about God is that repentance doesn't just put us at the back of the line, it puts us back in line. And if you're here today and you're looking for a good church home, we believe the church you go to and the word you hear, it makes a difference. So I want to encourage you, if you fall into any of those categories, please utilize the connection cards. If you're online, you'll see it posted in the comments or in the caption above. If you're here in the building in the seat pocket in front of you, please fill out the connection card in its entirety and turn it in at the first time friends table in the foyer. Amen. If you're doing it online, just be sure you click submit so we receive it. And we just want you to also take advantage if you have any prayer requests. The prayer requests that you submit get prayed for throughout the week. Amen. I want us to all pray a prayer together, and simply it might just help the person next to you if we pray it together. Please repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, and from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work You have nothing to do with me, and I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Lord, He's my Savior, and I'll always serve Him. Now, Father, we give you praise.